All right. It says I'm live. It's happening. All right, you guys. Well, we'll just wait. I wonder who's first to join. Is it Rumble? Is it YouTube? Is it Facebook? Oh, we've got a viewer. Hello, hello, hello. I did get the date right. It's the 21st. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Get in here, you guys. Let's talk for a few minutes. I've got a few minutes, and a lot's going on this week, but I wanted to touch base with everybody, say hello, have a quick little conversation, quick little chat. So much is going on in the world right now. I feel like, you know, we're running, and then suddenly it's like somebody's, you know, you're all like on a treadmill and like somebody's increasing the speed. Do you feel like that? And it's just like you're running and the speed's getting faster and faster and faster. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, this is crazy. We're going too fast. Everything's nuts. And it does. It does feel like things are out of control. Let's be honest, right? Like, it feels like things are a little crazy right now. So I want to talk to you guys. I got a heater on. Hold on. Let me turn that heater off. I wanted to talk to you guys. There's a couple things I want to hit on. First of all, I want to talk about Asbury University because I've not talked about that. And I want to talk about Russia. I've been doing some research on Russia, and this is fascinating. Russia is actually mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that? I didn't. I didn't know that until I started to dive in. And then I was like, oh my gosh, the descendants of Russia are mentioned in the Bible. They're the sons of Japheth. And they're actually mentioned in Ezekiel 38 in the end times. So that's comforting. But anyways, we'll get to that in a second. First of all, I wanted to talk about Asbury. So when Asbury started, I was so moved. And I'm still moved by the entire thing. But I haven't commented on it. But I've kind of just been watching it. I've been praying about it. I had the live stream going for several days, just worshiping God. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing that took place, hearing the testimonies that came out, watching people worship, watching people turn and glorify God. I mean, when you really think about it, that is a perfect picture of heaven, right? I mean, when you enter in, when you get a glimpse, when John, you know, in Revelations is talking about heaven, what does he see, right? He sees the elders, the 24 elders. He sees the four living creatures worshiping God. I mean, casting their crowns and just saying, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy of all our praise, the one who was and is to come. I mean, it's just glorification of God, right? And you see God and you get a picture of God on the throne. And it was so fascinating because I never noticed this until I started to dive in to just the picture of heaven. But actually, a picture of heaven is mentioned in Exodus when Moses actually gets a face-to-face with God, and he kind of describes it. And then it's described again in Ezekiel, and then it's described again in Daniel, and then it's described again in Revelation. And when you start, and what's so cool is the consistency of it. Every description, they're very much similar. They mention sapphire. They mention the rainbow, like a glowing rainbow in the throne room where God sits. And each one, like they detail even like a little bit more specific in each one, but it's kind of overall a very similar picture, which I was just like, wow, that's so cool. Because I mean, Moses here is in Exodus writing things, and he's seeing the same thing that John sees. I mean, a thousand years later, right? So it's pretty cool. It's very cool. But anyways, so that is a picture of heaven. It's worshiping God, glorifying God, exalting God. And that's what we kind of saw. We saw just an endless worship of God, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. The one thing that I'm taking away from this, I mean, I kind of see it, and I know there's like this huge argument over whether it's revival or not revival. And I don't want to really I don't know why we have to like name something and like that's what it is or that's what it not is. But I do think before revival, you have to have repentance. You have to have a recognition of sin, an acknowledgement of sin, and a repentance, right? Because to enter into that throne room, right? To enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into, I mean, when John describes when he sees Jesus, right, and Jesus comes before him, and like is it Revelations 2, And he falls flat on his face. I mean, he can't even, he's like out. And that's just, that's Jesus being in that presence. There has to be such a holiness and such a reverence. And conviction comes, right? Because if you're standing in the presence of absolute sinlessness, like perfection, there's nothing can touch God, right? I mean, you look at what the priests used to do back in the Old Testament, how they had to wave the smoke right before they entered into the Holy of Holies. I mean, because they couldn't, there had to be that shield there. And then Jesus came and tore that shield, right? And now we can boldly walk into the throne room and have that personal relationship with Jesus. But there always is repentance, right? That's through salvation. There's repentance. And then there's salvation, right? There's a recognition of sin. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm nothing. Like there, I can't even come close to what God is. I can't even, I am born sinful, right? I need Jesus. There's this acknowledgement of complete dependence on what Jesus did for us. And I believe that that is what we really need to see in our world before we see an outbreak of revival. And not to say you can't see an outbreak of revival, but I do believe, when I've been praying on it, you're going to see a real like wave of repentance and then an ushering in of revival. And not to say that that didn't happen in Asbury. I wasn't there. So I'm not going to be one of those that like, this is what happened and this is what should be happening. That's not my calling. Like that's not my role. Okay. So, but I do believe that there needs to be repentance before revival. And so that's my commentary on that. I think it's awesome. I see it as kind of an awakening, a luring of God saying, hey, I want you. I want to be with you. A calling to intimacy, a calling to repentance, a calling to know him and walk with him. I mean, when you study what Jesus said, I mean, there's going to be so, and I wrote a blog over the weekend just about knowing God, knowing the Father, having a relationship with him. And Jesus even warns, he's like, there's going to be people that are performing miracles. They're casting out demons. They're doing incredible things. And Jesus is going to be like, I don't know you. Like, I don't know you. We have to know him. And that comes from a personal relationship with him, spending time with him, knowing his voice. I pointed out in the blog that it's this really cool moment where Elijah, and it's such a beautiful thing. Elijah, after he performs this miracle, this woman, this older woman, her son and her are about to die, right? And he is able to perform a miracle and provides food for them, oil, and they're able to live and eat and all this stuff. Well, later Elijah comes back. I think this is in 1 Kings or 2 Kings. But later Elijah comes back and this widow's son is completely like the Bible says that he had no life in him, which means, I mean, if you have no life in you, I'm thinking you're dead. So it says he has no life in him. And Elijah is like, oh my gosh, like you used me earlier to save this family. And now the boy is dead. Like, what is this? And he's crying out to God. He is crying out to God. He's saying, come on, breathe life back into him. Breathe life back into him. Come on. And the Bible says that God heard the voice of Elijah. And I love that because God heard Elijah's voice. And he recognized Elijah's voice. And how do you recognize someone's voice? By spending time with them, right? By having conversations with them. By, I mean, you can hear someone on the radio that you've been listening to day in and day out and day in and day out. And finally, when you hear that voice, you're like, oh, well, I know who that is. Because you've spent time, right? It's a time, it's time spent. And God heard Elijah's voice. And I just love that because it's time spent. And Jesus wants to know. He wants to know us. He wants to have that intimacy with us. And I see that as what kind of happened at Asbury, is this longing, this, hey, I want you. I need you. Not necessarily he needs us, but we need him. And a luring for him to be one with us and to spend time with us, especially in these times that we're living in, which is what we're going to talk about now really quick. Okay. So, and I can't do too long because I got to get my kids here in a little bit. Joe Biden went to Ukraine just the last couple of days ago. And instead of going to the people of East Palestine, we haven't even talked about that. Huge train derailment, toxic chemicals let out. They could have I'm hearing now like scientists are like, we could have like seeped it and like carried it somewhere else. But instead they just lit it on fire, which is amusing to me because all of these environmentalists, right? All of these people that want to save the climate are totally not saying anything about toxic chemicals being lit on fire and exploding over this city in Ohio. I mean, how terrible is that? Animals are dying. When I see people like filming like river, the water, like you see like this film over it and they're like, it's fine. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. And I mean, I wouldn't trust them, right? I think at this point, a lot of America's trust in the government is just gone. I mean, after all we've gone through over the last couple years of lie after lie after lie, hey, if you take it, you won't get it. It does prevent this. It doesn't prevent that. If you wear this, it's just lies. I mean, it's just lie after lie. It's just lying, lie, all the time you're lying. So then you have these people come in. They're like, yeah, it's totally fine. You can like totally stay here, drink the water, raise your children here. And people are like, I don't know. Like, I can't. There's a total mistrust that's been formed. And the Biden administration has completely ignored. They completely ignored this like whole thing. Pete Buttigieg, MIA. No one has visited. No one has expressed any concern, any like acknowledgement of what these people have gone through or the concerns that they have. And this is America, right? This happened in heartland of America. So Biden gets on a plane and flies to Kiev to see Zelensky and to talk. But he doesn't go like Trump went to North Korea. To like, you know, calm the situation. Hey, let's just calm it down. We don't need nukes flying anywhere. I'm cool. You're cool. We're cool. None of that. Okay. Or Trump meeting Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, if you guys remember that. No. Biden goes and is basically like, yes, we're going to destroy that. We're going to win. And like, let's just use common sense for a second. Let's just step back and look at the situation from a common sense point of view, okay? In what year was it? It was a while back. Ukraine gave up their nuclear weapons. They're like, hey, we're going to give up our nuclear weapons, which is just a sign, like in itself, never give up your weapons. Like, I mean, if anything, like never give up your weapons. But Ukraine did. Ukraine's like, we're going to give up our nuclear weapons. And in exchange, you know, we want protection. We're not going to join NATO, but we want protection. So that happened a while back, right? So they have no nuclear weapons, okay? Ukraine, no nuclear weapons. Russia, nuclear weapons. And anyone at this point in time right now that is saying Ukraine can win this, Ukraine, you've got this. It's asinine to me. It's absolute ludicrousy. Okay. No nuclear weapons, nuclear weapons. The only way Ukraine could possibly win this, if other countries with nuclear weapons come in and help Ukraine with nuclear weapons. If this happens, you're looking at nuclear war. Okay. So anyone cheering this on or saying, yes, Ukraine, you can do this, is crazy. And that's what Biden did. Over the weekend, Biden basically did that. And I'm sitting here thinking, I cannot believe this is happening. And neither can a lot of the world. And Putin this morning said, you know what? I'm withdrawing my treaty. My treaty. And we had it was called a START treaty. And I was looking into this, in case you guys don't know what this is, but it was a treaty that we formed back in 2010. It was enacted in 2001. And basically, it caps the number of strategic nuclear warheads that the United States can have and what Russia can have. We're allowed to have 1,500 strategic nuclear warheads, and so is Russia. And we're allowed to have a maximum of 700 long-range missiles, and so is Russia. And we allow their inspectors to come in and inspect that we're abiding by this treaty. And we send our inspectors to them and we make sure that they're abiding by this treaty, by the treaty. Well, that treaty's just been called off. So that's crazy, okay? Absolute insanity happening right now. And then Putin goes on to give a speech basically saying, we're not giving in. We're not throwing the towel in here. We're going to press on. There's various reasons. Like, there's a huge, like, and I'm not some expert at all on any of this history of Ukraine and Russia. And I know that Vladimir Putin has this ideology in his head of Mother Russia and Ukraine being part of Russia, and it should be part of Russia. And and Ukraine has tons of minerals, tons of valuable things. Natural gas is a huge one that Ukraine has. And also, what else was I looking into? They have, I wrote it down. I mean, they have a ton of different minerals, right? But that might, I don't think that that's what this is about. Now, this is my own commentary here, so I'm going to go off a little bit. I don't think it's about any of that. I don't think that it's about biolabs. It could be, but I don't think that's the main reason. I don't think it's about minerals or them having these really enriched minerals that they want. I believe this is to get Putin out. I believe this is about regime change in Russia. Now, why? Why do you want Putin out? Well, he's a horrible monster. I understand that. Not a good guy. Bad guy. Doing very bad things. This is not a pro-Putin at all. I'm not at all. Okay? Not at all. Let's just be clear on that. I believe that they want Putin out because Putin will not align with this new wave of world order that we're starting to see come into play. Don't call me crazy or conspiracy theorist. There literally was a world government summit last week where they're talking about forming a world government, okay? The World Economic Forum is very upfront and forthright with having a world government, okay? Putin isn't a fan. He's like, I don't want to be part of it. I'm not aligning with it. I don't like the way the world is going. He actually gave a speech today speaking out against transgenderism, speaking out against all sorts of cultural topics that we face all throughout the day in our society, and talked about a returning to faith and a returning to the family. Okay, so he doesn't align with what this globalist agenda is about. And I think Putin is going after Ukraine because he's got this crazy thing in his head that Ukraine's supposed to be part of Russia. Like, that's just his own, I don't know what's going on with him. But I think the reason why we're so heavily involved is we want a regime change in Russia. I could be wrong. Maybe it is just about the minerals or just about the natural gas that we're willing to have nuclear war over it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's it. But that's my own personal thought and my own personal opinions and what I kind of see happening. Now, what I find absolutely fascinating is Russia, as I mentioned at the top of this, is actually mentioned in the Bible, which is just wild to me because I had never, ever seen it. I never even thought of it. But in Ezekiel 38, it talks about the descendants of Japheth. Okay. And the descendants of Japheth, from them come the Russians. So here we know that Russia is actually, they're not going anywhere. Okay. So, according to the Bible, they're around. They're going to be here for a little bit until they actually are conquered. Russia is conquered by Gog, which I believe it's amazing how many people argue over different theology. The Antichrist, okay? So I see Gog as the Antichrist. Some people would say, no, he's not. I see him as the Antichrist, okay? And even Dakes, and I have a Dakes Bible, highly recommend it. The man spent his entire lifetime breaking this thing down. And it's just fascinating, all the research that he's done. But he says here, in this breakdown, that so first of all, Gog comes out. Russia is actually ends up being conquered by Gog,
And then it unites with the 10 other kingdoms in the 10 kingdom empire. And the 10 kingdom empire is actually the old Roman Empire, which includes like Hungary, Budapest, Romania. All of these guys unite. All of these guys unite. And then this is where it really gets crazy. They all go after Israel. Okay, so this all happens. Then they all turn and focus in Israel. What I find extremely fascinating in all of this is the lineup that we're seeing take place, right? We're seeing a alliance of Iran and Russia, right? And who hates Israel more than Iran? I don't know anybody that hates. I mean, Iran probably wins the prize on how much they hate Israel, right? So you see this alliance taking place with Russia and Iran. And then now, which was just wild to me, is this morning, the president of China, Xi Jinping, went in this meeting with Putin. So there's this whole little thing happening right now. And whether this escalates or not, and my prayer is that it doesn't escalate. I mean, this is crazy. But what I find fascinating is a lot of the pieces lining up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm seeing things line up that align up with the Bible. And you're like, okay, this is wild. And they eventually all go after Israel. The good news is they're able to take, I think, half of Israel, but then that's when Jesus shows back up on the scene. And you read in Revelations how it all goes down from there. And I mean, Daniel 7 goes into detail on it. Even Ezekiel 38 kind of goes into detail on it. But you do see this final battle, and God's like, no, you're not touching Jerusalem. So I'll leave you with this because I don't want to talk too much. Regardless of what happens, like regardless of how we see things unfold or what lies ahead of us, it ends well. Okay. And we could be 100, 200, 300, 400 years out, right? But I do find it interesting, like all of these players that are mentioned in the Bible are being mentioned now. And there could be just a whole little dust up and then it goes away. I do find it different because there's nuclear weapons involved. And I could really, and I do see the United States goading Russia. They want a reaction. They want a reaction. And I did hear a general, not a current general under the Biden administration, but he gave an excellent theory. And I don't know who he was. I got to remember his name. But he gave a scenario saying, I do believe that they're trying to goad Russia into launching a nuke. And then if they launch a nuke, then the people of Russia would rise up in anger and would overthrow Putin themselves. And I think that that's the long game that our players are trying to play. But regardless, you know how the story ends, right? And to not be stressed out over it, to not lose sleep over it, to trust in God, to lean not on your own understanding, right? And I do believe that we're not here for a lot. I don't believe the church is here for a lot of this. And I know saying that is going to launch an entire debate on rapture, pre-rapture, post-rapture, post-trib, mid-trib, all of that. I understand that, and that's fine. But I don't believe the church is here for that. So I know that's people are going to be like, what? I'm going to have tons of people sending me stuff, all of that. And there's a reason. And there's a biblical soundproof on why I believe that. Jesus says that I go to prepare a place for you and you're going to join me, right? And if heaven is coming to earth, why would he be preparing a place someplace else? Right. I'm not going to get into huge detail on all this. And then I will recommend, and I have a friend that recommended this to me, Emerald, but it's called Revealing Revelation. And I just started it and I have to talk to her about it. But it is a great breakdown of biblical proof on how things go down. And it has been so insightful to me. And I'm not even that far into it. If you're like, I don't know. I would read up on that. Because it always comes back to the Bible, right? So it's gotta be in the Bible. It's gotta be in the Word.
Anyways, so those are my thoughts. And I know people are like, you're wrong. It's not true. They're arguing with me already. But this is the thing. Okay. If Jesus came, right, he came and he took the wrath, right? He took the keys of hell and sin and death, and he conquered it, right? And he did it for you and he did it for me. So why would you be required to go back through all of that? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, oh, just kidding. We're saved by grace. And I think some people just can't fathom that Jesus would do that for them, that he would rescue them and he would save them and love them that much that they don't have to go through terrible, terrible heartache or judgment because they already have repented and they've turned from sin and they're walking in righteousness and living a holy, just life before the Lord. So, but people really believe they want to go through it, and that's fine. If you want to go through it, go through it. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you to get out of here. Let's discuss Daniel. Daniel, what say specifically what you want to talk about in Daniel. That's a pretty broad. Now people are sending me scripture. All right. I'm going to go through all of this and read it all over and look up your points. And I will read them. And I love your arguments. And I'm not, it's a theology at this point. It's not a, life or death, do or die type thing. It's a theology discussion. And a lot of people can agree and disagree. And maybe I should do a specific live on rapture. Maybe I'll just dive into that. And then I'll really have some arguments going. Timothy 2:12. I will have to look that up. I don't have that off the top of my head. Let's see. Timothy 2:12. What do you got for me here? Let's see. Somebody's given me. Is that 1 Timothy or 2? Timothy 2:12. Get my glasses. I'm not that old, guys. Okay. Let's see here. But I suffer not a woman to teach. Oh, that I don't even know. Oh, you're telling me I can't talk about God is what you're saying. Like I can't preach. No, I don't agree with that. So, okay. There are several prophetesses in the New Testament that like walked alongside with Paul. So if we're going to get into like legalism here, I'm not going to join you. Conspiracy facts. Okay. All right, you guys. No matter the timing. Yeah. And there's a very specific difference between on the clouds and in the clouds, right? The rapture that people talk about is mentioned that we meet him in the clouds. At the end of Revelation, is it Revelations 22 or 21? It talks about Jesus coming on the clouds and army behind him, army of the saints behind him. So there's two different references here, and they're not the same. Let me see here. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, somebody's very much not wanting a woman to talk about God, which is just not biblical. Talk to Lydia in the Bible. Or Deborah. She led an army. So let's see here. Hi, Mama. Lisa Sturgeon here. I'm sorry. Your account shut down. Okay. I gotta wrap this up because now I'm going to have 30 minutes here. But God bless you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I will read your comments. And if you'd like to debate, that's fine. I'm all for it. I think that strengthens thought and why you believe what you believe. I think it's a healthy thing. I do not lose hope. Yeah. Making a new earth. Right. So if he's making a new earth, right, and he's bringing kingdom to earth, why would he be going someplace else to prepare a place? Who is that place for? What is that place for? Like, think about that. Let's see. God bless you all. Or Esther. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, God bless you. Oh, God bless you guys. All right, we'll leave it at that. Pretty much that's all I got for you today. Stay tuned. Be praying over your family. Be praying over your kids. Be praying over this country. Be praying that the people in leadership do make wise decisions. I mean, in Jesus' name, we just pray for that. And regardless, you know, God has us, right? He has us. So that's something to be joyful about regardless. And we know how it all goes down and how it all ends. And it's a good ending. Okay. It's not a sad ending. It's not, it's a good ending, right? Evil is defeated. Jesus wins. And that should give you something to smile about, like all the time, all the time. All right. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. A special shout out to my supporters. I've gotten some new supporters on Patreon over the last few days. Thank you. God bless you. That really means a lot to me. And it's an encouragement to me because sometimes I'm like, does this matter? Is anyone listening? Should I keep doing this? And then I just am blessed by people that are like, yes, keep going. So thank you. All right. Have a good rest of your week and we'll talk soon. Bye, guys.